We track our steps, our sleep, even our water intake. But what about reading? It's a fundamental part of how we learn and think, but it's not something we typically quantify. And that's what makes the research paper we're diving into particularly noteworthy.
It is rather intriguing, isn't it?
It really is. This paper tackles the challenge of measuring how many words we actually consume while reading, and they do it through eye tracking technology.
It's a fascinating area of study, to be sure. This idea of quantified reading, it's more nuanced than it might seem initially, because reading isn't simply about the time spent looking at
Well,
text.
it's about comprehension, engagement, the way the information is processed.
Exactly. And this paper delves into two main methods for tracking these eye movements: electrocheilography, EOG for short, and optical tracking.
Could you elaborate on those a bit for our listeners?
Certainly. EOG utilizes sensors placed around the eyes to detect the electrical activity produced by eye movements.
So it's like an EKG, but for your eyes, essentially.
A very apt comparison. Now, optical tracking, that's a bit different. This method uses cameras and infrared light to monitor where the eyes are focused.
So, two distinct approaches to essentially uncover the same thing, how our eyes move as we read. And what I found particularly interesting was the range of materials the researchers use for their experiments.
Ah, yes, they didn't limit themselves to just one type of reading.
Not at all. They had participants reading on various devices, e-ink readers, smartphones, and they looked at reading across different document lengths and even different languages.
It is important to note, though, that the primary focus was on English texts, although they did include individuals with a range of English proficiencies.
Now that you mention it, that does raise an important question, doesn't it? How accurately can these methods actually measure reading volume across different levels of fluency? Someone less familiar with English might pause more frequently or need to reread passages.
Precisely. It's a significant consideration, and one that we should keep in mind as we delve deeper into their findings.
Before we move on to that, I do want to touch on the way they actually went about measuring the words being read. When I first read the paper, I was struck by the ingenuity of using saccades, those quick, almost imperceptible movements our eyes make as they jump from one point to another, as a metric.
It's an elegant approach. Researchers have, of course, known about the role of saccades in reading for quite some time.
Of course, but what struck me as novel was how they leveraged these saccades to detect line breaks.
Ah, yes, a crucial element in estimating word count, wouldn't you say?
Precisely, because it's that jump back to the beginning of the line, that very distinct saccade, that allows them to differentiate between simple eye movements and actual word-by-word reading. And this is where the horizontal saccade direction histogram, or HSD histogram, comes in.
It's a mouthful, isn't it? But it essentially boils down to a graphical representation of those saccades. Each peak on this histogram reflects the average length of an eye movement, with distinct peaks for reading words and those telltale line breaks.
So if we envision this histogram, we would see a pattern emerge. One peak representing the shorter saccades as our eyes move from word to word, and another peak, likely more pronounced, representing those longer jumps back to the beginning of a new line.
An astute observation. And it is this pattern that allows the researchers to extrapolate, with a surprising degree of accuracy, I might add, the number of words being read.
It's a rather elegant solution, I'd say. And according to their findings, this method proved remarkably accurate across various reading materials.
It did, although it's worth pointing out that the least accurate results were derived from reading done on a computer screen.
Which, when we consider the ergonomics of computer use, makes sense, doesn't it? Computer screens often have those long, unbroken lines of text, and we tend to move our heads more freely when we're seated at a computer.
All factors that could potentially introduce noise into the data, so to speak.
Precisely. And I'm sure many of our listeners can relate to the idea that reading on a screen feels qualitatively different from reading from a physical book or e-reader. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit. We haven't yet touched on the accuracy of these methods in a broader sense.
You're right. We should circle back to your earlier point. So, in terms of overall accuracy, this research indicated that both EOG and optical tracking methods yielded error rates that fell between 8 and 17%.
Which, considering the complexities involved, isn't unreasonable at all, especially when you consider that fitness trackers, which are essentially measuring something far simpler, movement, often have comparable error rates. And if fitness trackers can be effective in motivating people to be more active, why not apply a similar concept to encourage more reading?
It's an interesting parallel, and there's certainly merit to the idea. particularly when you consider that even the simple act of manually tracking one's reading habits, jotting down the number of pages read or books finished, has been shown to be surprisingly effective in motivating people to read more. Imagine what could be achieved with more sophisticated, real-time feedback.
It occurs to me that we've been discussing the mechanics, the how-to of this research, but we haven't really touched on the why. Why go through all this trouble to measure something as seemingly simple as reading?
It's a valid question, and to answer that, we need to look beyond simply quantifying the act of reading. This technology, it has the potential to unlock deeper understandings of how we read, how we engage with text, and ultimately how we learn.
Because it's not just about the number of words our eyes process, is it? It's about what happens in the mind as those words are being registered.
Precisely. This research could provide a window into those cognitive processes that have traditionally been difficult, if not impossible, to measure accurately.
And one area where this could be particularly transformative is education, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Imagine a classroom where educators can see, in real time, how each student is engaging with the text. They could identify struggling readers, pinpoint challenging passages, and tailor their instruction to meet individual needs.
It's almost like personalized learning taken to a whole new level.
Indeed. It could revolutionize the way we teach reading comprehension, particularly for those who may learn differently or require more individualized support. And it has implications beyond the classroom as well. Think about individuals with dyslexia or other reading difficulties.
This technology could be instrumental in not only diagnosing these conditions earlier, but also in developing more effective interventions tailored to an individual's unique reading patterns.
Precisely. By understanding how their eye movements differ, we can create strategies and tools that address those specific challenges, leading to better outcomes for these individuals.
It's incredible to consider the sheer volume of possibilities this technology unlocks. It seems we're only at the precipice of what we might discover about the human mind through the act of reading.
I wholeheartedly agree. And it underscores a crucial point. As technology advances, so too does our capacity to investigate and understand the complexities of human cognition. Reading, it seems, is just the beginning.
It's remarkable, isn't it? The seemingly simple act of reading, something many of us do without a second thought, can actually reveal so much about the inner workings of our minds.
It speaks to the intricate nature of human cognition, how even the most commonplace activities engage a complex interplay of neural processes. It's fascinating, truly.
It really is. For this deep dive, we've delved into the world of eye-tracking technology, exploring how researchers are attempting to measure and quantify the act of reading. We've discussed the mechanics, the potential for error, and even touched on the ethical considerations, haven't we?
We have. And I think it's important to reiterate that this research is still in its early stages. There's much we still don't know about how our eyes, and by extension, our brains, process written information.
But what we've uncovered is promising, wouldn't you say? The potential applications of this technology, particularly in education and in understanding learning differences, are significant.
They are indeed, and let's not forget the broader implications for fields like psychology, marketing, even human-computer interaction. The ability to track eye movements with such precision opens up a wealth of possibilities for studying human behavior.
It's an exciting time for this type of research, to be sure. And as we continue to refine these technologies, who knows what other insights we might uncover, what other mysteries of the human mind we might unravel.
It's a journey of discovery, and one I'm eager to witness unfold.
As are we. Well, on that note, we'll leave our listeners with this thought. The next time you find yourself engrossed in a book, an article, or even just a social media post, take a moment to consider the intricate dance of your eyes as they scan the words. It's a subtle but powerful reminder of the incredible capabilities of the human brain and the boundless potential of scientific inquiry.